All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Monday, September 10th, 2018. Will the clerk please read the roll call?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Councilmember Barker?
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
And Councilmember Smith?
Here.
If you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda tonight, we have the approval of the June 11th, 2018 Town Council meeting minutes. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we approve of the June 11th, 2018 Town Council meeting minutes.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the June 11th, 2018 Town Council meeting minutes. Any corrections to the minutes? Public comment on the minutes? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
I think Brian had something to say.
Well, I guess my only question is June 11.
It's a backlog, correct?
That is correct.
Forgive me that.
We're doing a little catch up. Councilmember Smith?
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Thank you. Next is the approval of the biweekly claims. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve of biweekly claims.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Questions from council? Ms. Barker.
On page 5 of 9, claim number 14670, Jacola Engineering, estimated fee, what is that for?
People?
That is in relation to the FAA grant that we just received. We have to have an independent consultant do an estimate or review of the fees to make sure they're equitable, and that's what we paid out during the year. As part of the grant, we get the money back.
Any further questions from council? Any public comment on the claims? All right. Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. The next item is administrative reports from the Finance Department. April?
We have the budget adopted, so now we're kind of in the maintenance phase. We have the maintenance and purchases that were budgeted. The Public Works Department did purchase the mini excavator that they had requested, and we took possession of that on the 31st, and I think they used it within 3 days to work on the project. They have also purchased their backpack blower and the 2 weed trimmers. And then we have submitted a requisition to the state for 2 new pickups for the Public Works Department. By doing that way, we are guaranteed better rates, and they do all the bid process, and we don't have to get involved in it. They can tell us what they've come up with. Just this past weekend, the police department monitors that we have budgeted for the clerk came in right on the money. I am going to be starting the process of getting bids for the safety upgrades that we talked about for the front office so we can get that going. We did have one unexpected repair to the generator out at the pump station. There was a water leak in the radiator, and it cost us almost $5,000 to get that repaired, so that may take a little bit out of our budget for the water storage tank that we have budgeted for, but we'll try and make that up somewhere else along the line. And that's all I have for today.
Any questions for the finance officer from the council? Other questions? All right, thanks. The next item is the police report. Janelle?
Good evening. I will be giving a report tonight. James is out on a call. Copy of the conference held on the 30th of last month, Chief Marble gave a presentation regarding credit card scammers. We also discussed the neighborhood watch program with attendees, along with general questions that they had for the chief. The Neighborhood Watch Program is moving forward, and at this time, we are gathering and developing paperwork that's needed to interview for Neighborhood Watch captains. So as we are gathering information from other law enforcement agencies that are also doing Neighborhood Watch programs, we'll be piecing together the best application process for our town. Also, myself and Chaplain Everett Headley will be attending the September 11th memorial services tomorrow to read the names of fallen officers. We had 90 calls the month of August. The following pages that are attached to this breaks those down for you. Any questions?
Any questions for the police clerk? Mr. Michelson.
Yes.
I just wanted to note that I had two phone calls within the last 3 days, one from a Marge and another one from Rick Harrison. And they have noted that there is a gang that's moved into town. They're a Mexican gang. They're staying in a fourplex close to town hall here. And they are openly dealing heroin on the streets and in the park. Rick Harrison has talked to Chief Marble about it. Marble said he did a walkthrough, but he doesn't want to do a walkthrough alone.
Correct.
He wants to do it with somebody else.
Correct.
So I would just like to tell everybody that this is an ongoing thing, and it's very real. It's happening right in front of our faces every day right now. This gang, they're two of the members of the gang can't even speak English, so.
Bob, could you do me a favor, those people that have come to you, would you have them go on the website and give a report as well?
Oh, yeah.
Just to back that up, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. They just asked me to pass it along.
No, that's perfect. And them going on the website or coming in and providing that information will also help me as well and help the chief.
Right. In fact,
sure.
Rick Harrison's son just got approached yesterday at the park down here. He wanted to know if he wanted to buy heroin. So.
Okay, remind him.
It's out there. It's just
contact 911 as soon as that happens. Come in and give us the details as well.
Yeah.
Helps out a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the council for the police department? Any questions from the public? Thanks, Janelle. The public works report was included on your table tonight for the packet. Public Works Director George Thomas is on vacation this week, so he's not able to attend. Any guests tonight will go on to correspondence. We have a letter to the editor from Roger Mitchell regarding a traffic problem dated September 3rd, 2018. It reads, increasing population in the Bitterroot has created a situation which the town of Stevensville will have to address sooner or later, namely, traffic flow at the intersection of Eastside Highway and Main Street. As it stands now, it is not intolerable, but will become a problem if it is not taken care of. Traffic coming from Steve I. Cutoff Road onto Main Street, or vice versa, has right-of-way and is unimpeded. Traffic from Eastside Highway and Buck Street has to stop and wait for a clear opening before accessing the main road. With heavier traffic, the waits at the stop signs are only going to become longer and longer. With the attendant frustration, which comes from not being able to move for an extended period of time, I know, I've been there. Fortunately, there is an easy solution. The town could make the intersection a four-way stop in exactly the same manner as the intersection at Main and 3rd Streets. Traffic moving in all directions would be required to stop, allowing any vehicle to safely enter the intersection without a long delay. In fact, the first one to stop would be the first one to move, and so on as the intersection was cleared. No one, regardless of direction of travel, would have to wait for more than three other vehicles to pass before proceeding. Very simple, very inexpensive solution to a potential problem. All of this would cost the taxpayers exactly two stop signs and the labor required to install them. This is forward thinking. I encourage the town council to seriously consider this proposal. It is certain that something at some point will have to be done. Better to be proactive about it than to wait until the options are limited to the better of two evils. Moving on, the rest of the to the next item on the agenda is public comment. It's an opportunity for the public to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. You can also comment on items on the agenda during that agenda item. you wish to make public comment, please step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 Knight Street. This goes to the last council meeting that I was at, and Robin asked a question on the kiosk and the amount of money that the town would be providing. And so I just wanted to provide all of the board members or city council members with a copy that the park board was given in reference to the kiosk. It was on one of the city council packets, but I couldn't find it, so I went back through the park board notes. It is an in-kind donation only. There's no cash involved from the town of Stevensville. So I wanted to put that forward to make sure that you guys knew that what was going on with that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any further public comment? Mr. Thomas.
Craig Thomas, 4189 Amber Lane, Stevensville, Montana, the Board of Chair. I would like to express my appreciation to the town council, the mayor, and the staff for the efforts that they put forth on our FAA grant. This is going to be very beneficial to the airport. It looks to me, if I understand this correctly, that for an expenditure of around $16,000, we will be able to receive $2,200,000 in infrastructure improvements at the airport. A lot of work went on behind the scenes by a lot of people to get this done, and I very much appreciate, or all of us at the airport, very much appreciate the efforts put forth by the council, the mayor, and our staff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Any other public comment? All right, we'll move on. Next item of business is unfinished business. It's discussion decision on the installation of security lighting and security cameras at Lewis and Clark Park, brought forward by Ms. Barker and Mr. Michelson. As an old business item, this was last discussed, I think, as far back as January and February of 2018. And the work that's been done since that discussion has been the installation of lighting at the park, however, no cameras. So how the council would like to proceed. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we of installation of security lighting and security cameras at Lewis and Clark Park.
Okay, so a second. Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to install security lighting and security cameras at Lewis and Clark Park. Any council discussion? Ms. Holcomb.
I think this is a good idea, especially with everything that's coming to light. I mean, I've always been a big advocate for this, especially with everything that goes on with the soccer, with their nets and stuff. I think this is huge. We have to do something down there at the park, and probably not just at Lewis and Clark Park. We may have to think about doing it at all of them at some point.
Okay. Further discussion from the council? Mr. Michelson?
Yeah, we can go back about three, or even back to the era of Gene Minmack when the skate park and the park stuff was being put in with all the new equipment. It was brought up then about security lighting and that, and it was always tabled. And that's been going on 4 years now, and now we've come to the point where our soccer equipment and everything, and Kathy can acknowledge that, has all been vandalized. And I was for motion lights, and Kathy Cook, that's in the minutes here, got up and even spoke at the January meeting, and she was even offered to give her time and effort to put security, to get estimates on motion lighting, and that is right here in the minutes. And it was made that Mayor Dewey would bring it to the park board, and the park board would put it before the master plan and then bring it back to us. Well, I think it's time that the council would just override that and have the mayor or Kathy Cook go forward with an estimate on some motion lights to get this going, because the vandalism down there between the skate park and now the soccer stuff is just too much. And we don't have, the law enforcement now to cover James Marble just can't do everything. He's just one man. So I think we need all the protection we can get. Thank you.
Does the council have a plan to pay for or set a budget for this project and parameters to within? Mr. Smith?
This has been a park board issue since I was the park board chairman, and we suggested cameras back then. It's not a significant expense. At least we would have a timestamp of when the issues are happening. We might be lucky enough to catch the individual on camera. There are systems out there, like I say, that are inexpensive. As far as funding for it, I would see this as definitely a part of the Gene Thomas Fund beautification. I think this would beautify our parks because, again, security is going to stop people from vandalizing, which is going to enhance the overall beauty of them and, you know, make it safer for the community to feel they can go to the park. And if we don't go that route, I'll start fundraising for it.
For the council discussion? I did reach out to my counterparts across the state, namely the rest of the mayors, and inquired what other parks, what are other towns and cities doing in regards to cameras in their parks. What we found was nobody really has come back and said, we've got cameras in our parks. There are a few of them that have used cameras at dump sites where non-resident dumping has become an issue. But by and large, nobody has taken the leap to install cameras in their park. City of East Helena is currently looking at that, and they're a relative size to we are. And they have not gone forward specifically because they ran into an issue with the equipment. A DVR is required to be in a building that's climate controlled, and they didn't have that. We don't have that. Montana weather, as you well know, is one extreme to the other, and they had an issue with they were afraid that the system would freeze in the winter and overheat in the summer without any sort of air conditioning or heating. And they didn't think that they could foot that expense at the time, so they haven't moved forward on the project, but they continue to evaluate it. Some communities, instead of installing full-blown systems in their parks, have instead invested a smaller amount of money in game cameras, where those can be moved from park to park, versus a system that's only in one park. In regards to lighting, specifically at Lewis and Clark Park, we did install some lighting, or at least turn some lighting on, and we had some funding from Northwestern Energy to do so. Currently, there is no funding in the budget to install any additional lighting. However, the park is much better lit now than it was in January when we saw some significant vandalism. Since then, I think the police department probably can corroborate that we've seen not as much vandalism as I think it's made out to be. We have little instances here and there where there's mischief, but it's correctable. And so we can't say whether the lighting has helped or not, but it has been installed. Currently, you have no spending authority for any funding for cameras tonight. Any further council discussion before I call for public comment? Mr. Michelson.
As Mr. Council Member Smith just reiterated, can we use some of the Gene Thomas funding?
You can. You could use Gene Thomas funding. However, you don't have the authority to spend that money. We didn't budget any funding out of that. So it requires a budget amendment to do so. Any further council comment? Public comment? Oh, Ms. Barker. Okay, public comment on the issue or staff comment? Or on security lighting and cameras at the park. Cameras, or council's made a motion to move forward with purchase of cameras for the park.
Was it discussed about the game cameras? Is that
correct? Not much has been discussed.
Okay.
Please.
So cameras are extremely expensive, and I'm obviously an advocate of cameras have been for years. I think it's a good idea. But powering them, getting a place for a DVR to be able to record that's not too hot, not too cold, I mean, that you're going to start spending a lot of money to do that. The Fish, Wildlife, and Parks uses game cameras for a lot of their surveillance stuff that they do, and they're really effective. We borrowed one from them one time when we had all those headstones tipped over, you remember that, at the cemetery there, and it was amazing what they could do with that, and it's got the night vision and stuff. So, and they're not real cheap, but they're a lot cheaper than investing in a complete system. So I recommend, and they're movable, I recommend that if we're going to look at cameras, that's what we should look at. The high-end game cameras that can be moved around and hidden different places, and they're run off of batteries, they're used to the environmental changes, they're self-contained, they're waterproof. That would really be the way to go if we're looking at doing cameras. So, that's
good. Ms. Holcomb.
I wouldn't have a problem with game cameras. As long as we're putting something into these parks for us to catch who is going in there and destroying and who's going in there dealing drugs. And I appreciate you calling out to the other mayors, but unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, they have the manpower in the police department where we don't, to be going out and keeping an eye on this. I think we need to really look into putting something in our parks.
Well, and if I may, to echo that, I completely agree with you. I think we should look, but I also think, you know, if police protection is the issue and patrolling the parks is the issue, then we should really take a serious look at our police department and staffing it. Ms. Barker.
I still think that, like James said, you know, game cameras are a great thing. And I think having that there, people are more aware of, oh my gosh, I'm possibly on camera, so maybe that'll stop. I don't think the high end is what we're asking for. I think we're just asking for something that we can actually secure our parks with and to be aware that the public's even aware, hey, we're kind of safe. They take an SD card, put them in the computer, and you can watch whatever on those. So I think even game cameras is probably one of the better bets for that. Just something that we can protect our equipment, especially because equipment's not cheap. And if we're going to keep having to replace it, it's going to eventually come down to the town's going to have to replace it time and time again.
Chief?
So, my recommendation, if I want to, my recommendation is to sorry.
The voice is in your head, isn't it?
It's almost that, so. 10-4, I'll go check it out. So, real quick, I would recommend that the council advise the mayor and that we will tell me to go research cameras and then come back to you with proposals. Game cameras?
I think that's a great idea. I really do.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Chief. Any further public comment? Motion on the table is to move forward with security lighting, purchase of security lighting and cameras for Lewis and Clark Park.
Right.
Ms. Motley.
So, just clarification. It's not that I'm against. I just want to make sure. Does the Gene Thomas money to spend that, does that not have to go through the park board?
We have to take a firm look at the documents. I don't think it says outright that the park board has authority over that money. However, the practice has been when we receive gifts like that, whether they're that large or smaller, that we lean on the park board's recommendation as to how they're spent. No one knows parks better than you folks.
And it's not that I'm against the cameras. I just want to make sure that if that's in the rules, then that's how it should be followed.
Correct. And ordinarily what we'd like to see is if a proposal is being brought forward to purchase something, that there's some sort of system of here's how we plan to pay, here's the money we plan to, the dollar amount we plan to spend, here's what we look to purchase, and then you know, the council can formulate a motion from that.
Okay.
Currently, their motion is simply just to move, purchase it. So outside of the discussion, we're not really sure what direction they're giving. Ms. Cook. Just state it for Audrey. She's still.
Kathy Cook, 435 Whiteville Way in Stevensville. I've been on the soccer board for 12 years. I have been president for 8 years, and I've been coming to you, town council, three different mayors, for 6 years, asking for something to be done. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm trying to step away. People think I'm going to be here forever, but I'm not. I do have a life someplace else. But I love soccer. I love the kids. And I love watching them play down at that park. But I'm sick and tired of tiptoeing around this issue. This needs to be done, not only for the soccer program. Stop talking about the soccer program. Talk about the playground. That playground was vandalized, I was told, the week before the nets were cut down. The skate park, January. That's why I was here in January. Got swept under the rug again. Still hasn't been fixed, am I correct? Yep. Playground, lots of issues. We need to be proud of this park, and we need to be taking care of it, and we need to be taking up issues. The drug deals that I have witnessed, the language, as I've said before, kids grabbing the paint cans out of the garbage cans that I just barely put down there and sniffing them right in front of me. This is not what our town is about. So let's get off our butts and take our town back. I haven't approved this with my husband yet, but my company will donate up to $5,000 to get the cameras put in now. You have until December 31st. That's when that will go away. So please, get something done now. It's not just about the goals that I have built, my company has built, the stakes that we've provided for this, and this program. It's about our whole park, it's about the playground, it's about the skate park, and it's about the security of the people going there. If you want more people to come to your town, to go to your businesses, to come to your events, you need them to feel safe when they walk through that gate. A couple lights obviously didn't help. They still vandalized the playground. They still vandalized the nets. I don't know when they did it, what time. I was just called that morning by the police department and told about it. So, you know, I had a much different speech, and I see that, you know, things are kind of turning and going down the drain again. So, $5,000. Till December 31st, that's my proposal to you. Please take care of it.
Thank you. Yes.
Can you speak?
Yes, you may.
Ann Campomani, 105 Ford Rock. I'm here to support her and the kids of this town. I feel the same way. This is the second time I've been here to advocate for this topic, and I spoke to you, Brandon, in person, and you promised me, as I remember, that this issue would be taken care of this past summer. Nothing's been done.
We put lights in.
How many lights were put in?
We installed a significant amount of lighting on the swimming pool to light the area around it, and then we turned on two of the field lights.
Apparently more lights need to be done or put in because of this issue and the skate park. I don't know, it's very upsetting to me. I have three young children that frequent the park often. And when I hear about drug deals and bad language and smoking and no police presence, that's very, very upsetting. And I'm not the only one. Unfortunately, I'm one of the few parents that is willing to stand up and say something, which I'm actually quite shocked, because most of us have kids. something needs to be done. I totally agree with Kevin. I mean, I'm willing to go out and get donations too. I bet you'd be surprised how many donations come through to get this done. This is not a joke anymore. It seems like it's being taken as a joke, and it's very offensive.
Are you through?
I am.
Okay. I didn't want to move to him if you weren't finished. Mr. Smith.
Like I say, nothing against the park board. I was the park board chairperson, and we were working on this issue back then, and it was brought forward then. It's been brought forward by other chair people. It's been brought forward by this park board itself. And again, it's time to stop talking about it. It's time to move forward on it. I would highly recommend my council friends to take back their offer or their motion on this and take it a step further and move to take Kathy Cook up on her $5,000 offer to the town, and let's see what we can't get done with that, and I'll start fundraising for any extra if that's acceptable.
Ms. Barker.
I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, Bob and I brought this back up onto the table, was because it has been something that has been pushed around for way too long, and we feel it's the safety of our community, and something needs to take place, and it needs to happen. Not tomorrow, it needs to happen now.
And I'm not opposed to that. You have to give me the plan. You have to say, I'm treading lightly because of the environment that exists between all of us.
We had an offer right there.
I'm speaking. I'm hesitant to go out and put cameras in the park or make any decisions executively because I may come under some scrutiny by the council. I'm not opposed to the idea. I would like the council, if this is something you feel passionately about, to bring a full proposal to us to say, here's the dollar amount we want to spend, we want to buy game cameras for this amount of dollars, or we want a full-fledged system for this amount of dollars. We're hearing a lot of ideas, and it's bouncing around, but there isn't a firm, concrete, here's how to move forward administration. Mr. Smith.
Here's how we do it. We take Kathy Cook's $5,000. We have an existing location to put a secure box that would cost less than $1,000 to put the DVR into, that has electricity within our lock structure there at the bathrooms. That system itself, it would withstand the temperatures because it is a climate-controlled environment. The camera system itself, that would leave us a couple $1,000s for that. Again, any excess above what Mrs. Cook's gracious offer to the community, I think we could fundraise for that. So as far as the moving forward on it, this is, again, the motion on the floor is to install them. Again, I would remove that and redo your motion to give the direction that is being requested.
Mr. West.
Brian West, town attorney. I'll speak out of hand here, but I believe the issue is that we need to have a motion to amend pending motion with the directions as referenced by Councilperson Smith, which is what the council is trying to do, and hopefully take up a generous offer from another community.
The motion could also just be rescind or taken down. I mean, you can rescind your motion.
Whichever route the council wishes.
Or withdraw. You can withdraw your motion and start fresh if you'd like, and we don't have to go through the whole amendment process. Ms. Eckert.
So we've been talking about this for, I think, like 5 or 6 years now. So I would like to, if you guys move forward with this, I would actually like to also take it back to the Civic Club meeting sometime probably at the end of this month and ask them, the board and the members, for a donation from Pre-Grade Picnic this year. And then my other question would be, I know when I was at the park board, there are funds for the parks and stuff. And my understanding, and it could be wrong, but my understanding. once they went through each and every part, we only had one part to step down, is that they would go through and say, okay, you know, we've got seven parts and list, you know, top to bottom, what the significance of those particular ones, you know. Number one being the security, number two being whatever it may be. Bring it back to the park or to the council, say, this is what our plan is. This is where we're at. And then that money would be, you know, kind of open up to be able to do those enhancements. And I don't know if there's still a hold on that money or whatever, but that's kind of where my understanding was. But again, if you guys get a proposal put together, I'd like to bring that back to the Civic Club for information.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Well, and I just, funding really shouldn't be the issue, to be honest, because we've shut down the pool early. We are not expending the $5,000 set aside for the boiler because we don't know what is happening with the pool at this point, whether it's going to be reopened or not, what it's going to take to reopen that. So, again, I know that some may say that's robbing Peter to pay Paul's situation. Well, this is time to start taking care of the situation. And again, we have this issue. We have a gracious offer on the floor. So I see the funding there. Again, the motion on the floor is where
we're again asking for that to be withdrawn. Mr. Michelson.
I would like to withdraw my motion of the installation of security lighting and security cameras at the Lewis and Clark Park.
Okay. You seconded it, correct?
I seconded.
You concur?
Concur.
Okay. Motion's withdrawn. Would the council like to proceed? Mr. Smith.
I would like to make a motion to accept Kathy Cook's offer of $5,000 to purchase security cameras for the Lewis and Clark Park. We'll go from there, I guess.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept Kathy Cook's offer of $5,000 towards the purchase of security cameras for Lewis and Clark Park. We'll go from there. Is that accurate?
I'm sorry.
But
I wanted to add that if it is all acceptable, I would run with this and bring back whatever necessary documents, whatever it takes to accomplish this.
Your motion's getting very long.
I know. So I'll just leave it at that.
We know your intent. So if the council goes that direction, we understand the intent from the recording. So it's been seconded. Further council discussion? Public comment. Mr. Moore.
Joe Moore, 514 Central. A couple weeks back, I had talked about the unfinished business items and the idea of moving positively forward, and this is a perfect example of that. And I want to commend Councilman Smith, but I would go so far as to say that you probably want to chair the opportunity to investigate the sheriff's recommendations and everything else. And if you're leading that forward and bringing that back to the council, that would be very positive and a very justified way of thinking. Because I think the mayor called for this, and we need to get a lot of things out there. If you're going to head that, you're going to need that effort to have your share that effort.
Okay. Further public comment? Further council discussion? All right. And here we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision of the replacement of damaged soccer nets to reimburse soccer club for the cost of new nets due to vandalism at Lewis and Clark Park. Kathy will address police report photos. Councilmember Smith.
I brought this forward because, again, this is an issue that has been before council, before I was on council, before I was even the park and recreation chairperson, when I was sitting out in the audience. Not hers, but the soccer teams or soccer club's nets are continually being vandalized, cut. The stakes are being removed at a cost to her and her husband's business for them to redo them for the community continually. And she's never asked for reimbursement. And I think it's time for the community to look at reimbursing her for the cost association of those nets. And Kathy can address that if she'd like.
Ms. Cook?
As I said, my main concern was when these nets were cut down that day. These are some pictures that are just another ones that the one is in there. When they were cut down, they'd only been up for 5 days. We had just barely put them up on the previous Saturday when I got the call on Thursday morning. And I appreciate the council's motion to go ahead and help reimburse, because this one net is our UA goal, which means kids that are under 8, 6, and 7 year olds play on. It was damaged, and when I was initially down there, as those pictures show you, the nets were down on the ground, and then when I came back, this one had been put back up, but it wasn't attached. And so then when it was attached, I could see that the sides had been cut. Our U6 nets that are next to the playground are damaged like that once a year also on that side there. So it makes it harder to attach. Our U10 nets usually have the backs cut out of them, so the balls go right through them. And as I, the U10 goal that was on there, that net had just been taken out of the box, brand new, on the Saturday before. So, you know, it's like anybody. If you go out and buy a new car, you don't want it getting dinged when you first take it to the grocery store. You know, this is the same thing. Put a lot of time and effort into these. So, again, I appreciate Councilmember Smith's bringing this item up. You know, like I said, the UA goals, the nets are $100, you know, then we have to do the zip ties, you know, which is not a huge expense, but it's usually my time of reattaching them. And they're $11 down here at Steve I Hardware. They appreciate me and my business. And again, the rebar stakes are $25 each. There's two on each goal. And I believe 2 years ago, we had 6 of them stolen. So that's, but like I said, this goal here, this net here would take us back $90. I'm sorry, $100.
Okay. Council, how would you like to proceed? Mr. Smith.
Would I need to make a motion for Ms. Cook to submit a bill to the town for us to reimburse her?
If that's the action you want the administration to take, then yes. Mr. Smith.
I move that Kathy Cook submit a invoice for the damaged materials for reimbursement for the town to take care of.
Okay, so a second. Sultan.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that Ms. Cook submit a receipt or a request for reimbursement for damaged materials for reimbursement. Any further discussion? Any public comment? Hearing none, proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision on the purchase of 4 laptop computers with mouse and carrying case for each for use of town council. Councilmembers Michelson and Barker. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we purchase 4 laptop computers with mouse and carrying case for each for use for the town council.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to purchase 4 laptop computers with mouse and carrying case for the town council. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
We all have little iPads. They're tired, they're old. Mine died over a year ago, so I didn't use this. Mr. Smith died on him at the last council meeting. Fellow council member Barker won't even keep a charge for a whole hour. And they're just tired, they're old, and I think it's time. She'd like everybody else And the claims tonight are chief of police just purchased a $900 one for himself. And we're getting one, four of them with cases and mouses, HP for $921. So I think it's time that the council steps up and treats itself to a laptop. They're more accessible, they're more easy to use than just fiddling around with iPads. That's the council's wishes.
Okay. Every council comment. April.
Well, first of all, the chief's computer was in the budget, so we can't really discuss that. This is not in the budget. Where do you want the money to come from? Are you guys going to give up something that's already in your budget, or where are you going to get that money?
It is.
Mr. Michelson?
Isn't that something that the treasurer could figure out where it could come from?
This is your idea. You got to tell me, you are going to give something up? Are you going to tell the town people to spend more of your money? What do you want to do?
Could we?
Go ahead.
Could we take some $900 out of the mayor's fund for his annexation that you wanted to do?
That's out of economic development, and that's a preliminary engineering report.
Yeah, it's a whole different fund.
No, this fund wouldn't be an appropriate expenditure for those funds.
We couldn't take it out of the general fund?
It can come out of the general fund, but you don't have any room in your general fund budget for this type of an expenditure unless you give up something to the tune of $991. So either somebody stays home from institute, or more than one person stays home from institute. We did the budget this year. April and I put together pretty much a shoestring, bare bones, and so there wasn't any room to add expenditures like this unless something comes out. Mr. Michelson.
The council was under the impression that during the budget meetings that we had put it in for this year, but April...
No. I told you three times and we...
I understand, April. So, if we have to give up something, I guess we have to give up something. But I think we have to have a laptop. Otherwise, it's going to be a whole lot of paper going to be spent, and that's going to have to come out of the budget, too.
Sure. And just for clarification, we do have one tablet that's left in the office. Yours didn't die. You turned yours in. You didn't want to use it.
Right, but it wouldn't work at the time.
It's all updated, ready to go if somebody needs a replacement. I guess we need some direction from the council if you're willing to let the administration make that decision of what doesn't get spent out of your budget so that you can make this expenditure. We're willing to do so unless you're wanting to volunteer something. Ms. Barker?
So, I mean, it's getting to the point where even when we push on something, even to get our emails, it's lagging and lagging and lagging. And I'm personally not going to use my personal computer to do the town's business. So I think we need to figure out where it needs to come from. Maybe it's something that we can sit down and maybe at a COW meeting or something and figure out where we need to pull it from. But I think it needs to happen.
Any further discussion from council? Public comment. Okay, motion on the floor is to move forward with the purchase of four laptop computers with mouse and carrying case for the use of the town council. I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision on change of council meeting days to the second and fourth Thursday of each month, effective the second Thursday of October 2018. Councilmembers Michelson and Barker. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we change council meeting days to the second and fourth Thursday of each month, effective second Thursday, October 2018.
Okay, so second. Ms. Barker?
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to change council meeting days to the second and fourth Thursday of each month, effective second Thursday of October 2018. Council discussion. Ms. Barker.
I think the reason why we had it moved before was due to the fact of the police department, fire department their training nights had changed, and from what I'm gathering is they're not doing those training nights on those nights. So, and I think it actually gives us a little more time as well to look over our packets.
Okay. The fire department does train on Thursdays still, ever since they moved from Tuesdays to Thursdays. However, you're correct in that it certainly helps the staff in getting the packet ready to go, because it's hard to do it now, and it's hard for us to prepare for a meeting, given the turnaround. We only really have Friday and Monday to do so by the time we get the packet out. So we appreciate the extra time. However, the Thursday night trainings of the fire department is a consideration, since we do ask the fire chief to be here at least once a month. Further council discussion? Public comment? Oh, Mr. Michelson, go ahead.
I just want to note that I will write the resolution up to change the town council rules if this is passed, reflect the changes, and present to council at the regular town council meetings in October. I'll have the resolution ready.
Okay, if you'd bring that to us, you know, for the September 24th meeting, okay. So that it's, because we don't have a meeting in first meeting in October because of Columbus Day.
You're right here. I'm reading right
so
here.
You need
a regular town council meeting in September of 2018.
Right. Yeah.
I will have it ready.
Okay. Sounds good. Get that to Audrey, please.
If this passes.
Okay. Any public comment, Chief Motley?
Yeah, fire department. We do meet on the first Thursday, second Thursday, and the fourth Thursday, and the fifth Thursday of the month. There's a fifth Thursday. So we're meeting almost every Thursday of the year. We do have meetings. We'll be in the truck bay outside that wall, and we'll be upstairs above your head during the meeting. We can do it Thursdays. As long as we stay on Thursdays.
Thanks, Chief. Mr. Fuller.
If you change the Thursday, I would also prevent any members of the fire department from attending your meetings.
Further public comment? Any further council comment or call for the vote? Ms. Barker.
I just had one little question. I know that even when it was on Thursdays before, I mean, we still had some of the fire department here unless they were called out. Is that?
They trained on Tuesdays before we moved to Mondays. So they trained on Tuesdays, we met on Thursdays, and then they moved to Thursdays, we moved to Mondays.
I just feel it would give us all a little more time to be prepared.
Chief Motley.
What about Wednesday?
A few of our boards do meet Wednesdays. A majority of those meet on Tuesdays. Okay. Further council comment? More public comment? All right. Call for the vote. Councilmember Smith?
No.
Councilmember Barker?
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Michelson?
Yes.
Okay, it's a tied vote. And motion fails because of a tie. Move on. Next item is discussion decision on council directs the mayor to restore council chambers configuration to the last previous layout. Councilmember Barker and Michelson. Mr. Michelson.
It's been brought to my attention by some of the members of the community, and I did have a discussion with Judge O'Connor last week. She had no problem with the way it is now, but she did like it the way it was before. Her main concern is, of course, this being raised, as you well know. And I just think it's better for the way it was. It's better for the people to see direct up there to there instead of them looking sideways up there at an angle. That's just my review of it. Thank you.
Okay. Further council comment, or would the council like to proceed? Ms. Huffman?
I move that we direct the mayor to restore the council chamber configuration to the last previous layout.
there a second? Ms. Parker?
Second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to direct the mayor to restore the council chamber's configuration to the last previous layout. Further discussion from the council? Ms. Holcomb?
I've also heard some of the towns that come to the meeting that don't like it because what Councilperson Michelson said, they have, well, back where Kathy's sitting, you really have to turn around to really see the screen. If they're sitting back there, they can see the screen.
We can move the screen. That's not, I mean, it's not permanent. It can be moved. Further council comment? Public comment. Mr. Moore.
I think, you know, where I'm sitting right now, no one asked me, but I can read it better here than I did over there. And the change is not bad for the atmosphere, given the way it's set up. So if my ward council people are asking my opinion, I don't think it's such a bad idea to have change. Change is good, as well, voice all the time. So this is a bad idea.
Further public comment? Mr. Perrin.
Bill Perrin, 503 Charles. Actually, I like it much better because I can see it better. I can't read it from back there, the distance. The other part of the struggle we had when we had under the old format was we always had a council person at the back of the public, and that didn't seem to make sense. It didn't seem to be very respectful.
Further public comment? Ms. Motley.
I too like this better. It's kind of a kink, but I can see it better. I can see especially the claims better. I also like being able to see everybody's faces. I also allows us to add more seating should there need to be more people added to the room. There's more space that you can add seats, whereas before there wasn't a lot of places that you could move in more chairs other than in the hallway. And that limits their being able to comment or to hear what your comments are. So I don't think it's a bad idea.
Okay. Further public comment? The idea of the screen is that it, and when we considered this arrangement, the screen is primarily used as a reference, not necessarily as the main show. We really wanted the public and the citizens have a chance to interact with their council members versus, you know, putting everything on the screen and having the screen be the main event. It's there as a reference. And so that was the intent of leaving the screen where it was. We did consider moving it to an alternate location so it would be easier seen. Any further council discussion or public comment? Mr. Moore?
I have to concur. I think it's a better format in terms of the connectedness we share rather than sitting in distance and having it off.
I think they're okay. All right, any further council comment or public comment? Call for the vote. Councilmember Smith?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Barker?
No.
Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Okay, motion fails unanimously. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision. The council hereby directs the mayor to have required training conducted for all employees and council members regarding bullying, harassment, and sexual harassment in the workplace prior to the first council meeting in November of 2018. Just as a reference to the personnel policy where it does talk about workplace bullying and prevention, it defines workplace bullying and prevention as a repeated health-harming mistreatment of one or more persons, the targets, by one or more perpetrators that takes one or more of the following forms: verbal abuse, conduct which is threatening, humiliating, or intimidating, work interference, sabotage, which prevents work from getting done, exploitation of a known psychological or physical vulnerability. Workplace bullying can generally be considered as negative acts directed towards employees. However, acts of bullying may also include negative acts towards supervision. These include but are not limited to intimidating or undermining employees or supervisors by demeaning their work standards, not giving them credit, setting them up for failure, and constantly reminding them of old mistakes, threatening employees' or supervisors' personal self-esteem and work status, isolating employees, coworkers from opportunities, information, interaction with others, and giving impossible deadlines, creating undue pressure and stress, and overworking employees. Section 2 of this policy is training, and it states all employees are to receive annual training regarding bullying, harassment, and sexual harassment in the workplace. As an update before you get underway with your business, a number of our full-time employees have already received their portion of the training so far this year. There's a handful of folks that have not, namely Public Works and one employee in the office. Otherwise, everyone else has received it. The exception to that, obviously, is our volunteers and auxiliary board members. So it's harder to get those folks together to conduct any training with. How would council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that the council directs the mayor to restore the council. I make a motion that the council to direct the mayor to have required training conducted for all employees and council members regarding bullying, harassment, and sexual harassment in the workplace prior to the first council meeting in November 2018.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to direct the mayor to have required training conducted for all employees and council members regarding bullying, harassment, and sexual harassment in the workplace prior to the first council meeting in November 2018. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
If I'm not mistaken, I also believe this is a requirement of the MMIA.
I believe it is a best practice from them, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Smith.
I'll ask April a question. Where are we getting the money from?
We can access, MMIA has a library of videos that we can access for free. Those of us who have already taken the training, obviously we know, but they have videos that we can access.
Freeze.
Nothing online, but free videos. DVDs.
Free is great.
Further council discussion? Public comment? Okay. Mr. Motley.
Is this motion intended to cover the volunteers, employees as well?
The policy covers everyone, yes. So volunteers will be included. Board members of extra boards will be included. The council will be included. If you're in any way, shape, or form attached to the organization, you'll be required to receive this training. By the first meeting in November, which will be a Thursday. Will not be a Thursday, excuse me. Mr. Moore.
Is it possible that those the scheduled times of those videos would be published and would public citizens be allowed to attend also?
It's not out of the question. I don't know if we'd advertise when we'd hold harassment training
well,
with staff.
Yeah, or are they?
I mean, we could do a public notice on the bulletin board. We wouldn't necessarily take an ad out in the paper, but
no, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, no. I didn't want to set the expectation either.
I think one of the things that would be good is if it's common knowledge that everybody's going to have this, mm-hmm. then it's a common understanding. People are invited to participate in knowing what's going on. That you're all taking it, and it's also an opportunity for everybody to know how everybody's going to act after they take it.
If the council takes a training, we more than likely try to do this in one shot, given the number of people we've got to do this with. That meeting will be noticed because it'll have a quorum of the council. So it'll be scheduled as a meeting. Further public comment? All right, I'll call for the vote. Oh, excuse me, Chief Motley, sorry.
Is there a minute deadline? What's the penalty?
Wasn't named, so we're not going to ask. Okay. Further council comment before I call for the vote? Okay. I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision on approving Resolution 433, a resolution by the Town of Stevensville to declare intent to vacate a 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Lots 3 through 18, the original town site of Stevensville. And this is brought forward by citizen Carolyn Mickens. Yes, if you'd like to introduce yourself and what your goal is. And
so I'm Carolyn Mickens, 211 Buck, fourth generation. I have come to find out that the area has not been surveyed, that one-fourth of that whole block has been vacated, but they didn't bother to do the rest of it. It has a tractor, like a lawnmower tractor, work shed in the alleyway. There's clotheslines across it. There's fences across it. There's all yards across it and flower gardens. And my great-grandma's summer house, if measured the way it's measured now, is right in the middle of the alleyway. So my intent is to have it vacated so that it can be filed at the courthouse, and then I can have my property surveyed, because until it is decided either to vacate or not vacate, I can't finish the survey of the property.
Thank you. I think this issue was briefly discussed once prior to by council and in conversations and reports and stuff. And so the process we've undertaken for this is if you pass resolution 433, you'll be declaring your intent to vacate the alley, and then we'll do some public notices and such in order to give the public an opportunity to weigh in whether or not an alley vacation is in their interests or not. And so your resolution tonight does not vacate the alley, it only expresses the intent to do so, and brings the process underway. Would council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve resolution number 433, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to declare intent to vacate the 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Blocks 3 through 18 for the original town site of Stevensville.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve resolution 433, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to declare intent to vacate the 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Lots 3 through 18 of the original town site of Stevensville. Mr. Michelson.
Looking at the packet here, it looks like a lot of the stuff that has been done, but I would like to have our city attorney got a alleyway vacation here. I would like to have him weigh in to see if we fill all the parameters of it.
As long as the council takes this out of a public notice meeting and makes the appropriate determination under 714.41.14, which is in the back as well, it makes the finding that you don't without detriment, then you will be in compliance.
Further council discussion? Public comment.
There's also on file a petition that's been signed by four people that are on that area. Four out of six people have signed petition.
Okay. Mr. Perrin.
Do we have a plaque to show that? To show that the
scroll down, Brittany.
Right across the street.
So the gray blocks on the right hand side of the screen that shows the town's property across the street to give you kind of an idea of where this is located. And then you can see 2nd Street runs to the north and 3rd Street runs to the south.
There is one correction where it says 16, 17, 18, that 16 needs to be deleted.
Yes, this is just a document to show for demonstration purposes. It's not an official document by any means.
So the alley did go through or hasn't gone through for a long time?
Well, as far as I can remember, and I've lived there for my whole life, maybe in 1880s when great-grandpa was there, they might have had the wagons go through the alleyway. It's always been a lawn until they put the sewer in and they had to pick rocks.
So
So that block at the very end of towards the top, is that's where the shed is at?
That a residence sits there now.
The residence, it's already been vacated, but they didn't vacate the rest of the lots or the rest of the app.
Further public comment?
Is a sewer easement through there?
Yes. So there currently isn't an easement. It's because we own the property. It's an alleyway, and so there's no easement. And so if the council were to approve any vacation of the alley, then we would retain an easement.
One note, in dealing with one of these recently, it'd really be helpful to the landowners if you put an amount of ground that this sewer easement covers. Because it's hard. If you just say it's an easement, you don't really know exactly where it's at. You may know what it looks like, but you don't know how much exact ground that the easement has.
Yeah, we've discussed in the office that if this were to be approved, we'd do some serious work on the easement piece of it to make sure that the town is fully protected by its assets, or with its assets. We don't want to lose access to critical infrastructure. And we're not allowed by state law to undertake this process if it impacts public infrastructure. Further public comment? Yes, sir.
Is there, Jim Chan, 405 Charles, is there a request to block off that alleyway from the street end?
So from the street end, it's just fence now. There's no dirt or there's no roadway currently. Okay. It's just been yarded basically, and so there's really no roadway to pull out or anything like that. The sewer line just runs there.
Okay.
Further public comment? For the council discussion. Motion on the floor is to adopt resolution 433 and declaring intent to vacate the 40-foot alley. Call for the vote. Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. This item on the agenda is discussion decision to authorize the police department to submit an application for the Rapp Family Foundation grant. Ms. Berthout. You still here? You are. Great.
And once again, James has had to move down into the jail, so I will fill in for him. Rapp Family Foundation does quarterly grants. This one just happened to kind of fall in my lap over the last couple of weeks. So I'm giving a fairly bare bones application in front of you. The pieces that have to be completed by Friday, numbers for budget and those pieces will be filled in over the next couple of days so I can turn this in. What I need from all of you is to be able to move forward and be able to show the Rapp Family Foundation that I have asked for permission, per se, to move forward and asking for this grant.
Would the council like to proceed? Ms. Barker?
I just did a little bit of looking into the grant last night for myself. Do we actually qualify for it? Because what it's saying here is a 501(c), which we're not a nonprofit.
Correct, but you're a municipality. And so I asked those same questions as well. Even though we're a police department, under a tax-exempt entity, can we still move forward with that? And she said yes. Knowing what the rest of the board would do at that point as they review applications, it's kind of a shot in the dark, I guess you could say, at this point for us as well. But she did say to go ahead and move forward with that. It would not be any hindrance in turning in the application.
Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we authorize the police department to submit an application for the Rapp Family Foundation grant.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to authorize the police department to submit an application for the Rapp Family Foundation grant. Further council discussion? Mr. Smith.
What are we requesting the funds for within the police department?
To move the police department from the back of town hall, back up front here, and providing extra office space and interrogation room as well.
Mr. Schmidt?
What is the value amount that you're going to request, by chance?
This particular one is under between 20 and 30,000 is what the grant is open for, so falling in that category.
Ms. Parker?
So is this a match grant?
No.
So...
Go ahead, Ms. Parker.
So if you're annexing, or you're wanting to move up front, mm-hmm. where are you going to expand? I mean, there's no... You're expanding into the fire department.
Correct. And that's already been... We've already discussed this and looked at different options of your... how to add on, how to... expand not just the front, but this area here.
So has this been brought to Chief Motley at all?
Not in the most recent history. We're not sure we'll get the grant funding to do so.
Right. And like I said, this just fell in my lap within not even the last 2 weeks. So I'm pulling together as many pieces as possible and moving forward with getting at least the application process.
So my question is, if it does go through,
what, I mean, you're going to push the fire department out. I mean, it's not pushing the fire department.
Well, no. It's, but where are you going to go? I mean, that's the question is you get this grant, then how are you going to build into the, I mean, have you thought where?
Yes, we have thought. And I really wish that Chief Bartle could be here tonight to go over this with you guys, because he has had this laid out for a long time on how to expand and be able to come back up front to be near the public and be that first point of contact. And I can bring that additional information to you guys at a different point. But like I said, I need approval tonight to just move forward to get this grant permit. And in the process of how to expand, and with those funds, we can continue to look at.
I think the philosophy or the intent anyway is that this discussion of encroaching into the fire department's space is certainly not a new discussion. We've talked about this for a long, long time. This is just an opportunity where that may or may not come to fruition. I think that the administration can handle making sure that the departments compromise and commingle appropriately, cohabitate. Mr. Smith.
Also, if by a stroke of magic the grant is received, we don't have to spend it. It can always be returned if the things don't work out with the chief, fire chief.
Sure. Further council discussion or call for public comment? Okay, public comment. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Michelson, go ahead.
I'm looking at the guidelines here. And it says one who's recommended the applicants provide evidence of in-kind contributions, i.e. volunteer hours, non-monetary contributions, and matching funds in the project budget. And number two, primary consideration is given to requests of $3,000 or less.
Yeah, and I'm going off of her email, which is stating this is this quarterly is a 20 to 30.
I have different.
So yeah, correct. This specific this sheet of guidelines, I think, is specific to their quarterly grant program, whereas on an annual basis they grant $20,000 to $30,000 to an organization for a certain cause. So I think we fall under that. This is just the backup documentation I believe they included based on their quarterly grant. So if we wanted to ask for a smaller grant on a quarterly basis, that's the guideline that they would fall under.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Further council discussion?
They provide money across the board. They just gave the Hamilton Skate Park $30,000. They gave us $20,000. They gave Bear Mountain all at the same time within that same quarterly. Was significant. I think it was $15,000 or something like that. Let them run.
Okay. Other council comment? Public comment? Chief Motley.
I would say go ahead and apply for the grant. If we get the grant, if we're fortunate enough to get the grant, I'm sure it'll work out some type of a way. I've never really ever thought about giving away any of the front end of the firearm. look at different options toward the back of the fire hall, not towards the front, but I'm sure we can make things work one way or another so everybody can benefit. I mean, this is going to benefit the community, that's what we're about, something the community will. So I would say go for it. Yep. We're fortunate enough to get it.
That's okay.
Maybe my other officers are with me.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Thanks, Chief. Any further public comment? Okay, call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Executive report. I don't have a full-blown formal report for you under the executive. I'll keep updating you on things through our weekly email process. Just a few things that come to mind. Back in June, George and I met with a gentleman who was interested in bringing pickleball to Stevensville and wanted to paint some lines on the basketball courts so that he could bring some nets down and play pickleball. George and I didn't see an issue with that, so we told him, yeah, that was fine. There was no conflict with the basketball court or anything like that, since it's currently underutilized. That's been done. I had, frankly, forgotten about the conversation until this weekend when he contacted me and said, hey, I'm ready to do it. Those lines are down on the court. We had the opportunity this weekend to meet with him and kind of try pickleball. It's an interesting game. So you'll see some of that information forthcoming. There'll be a pickleball clinic held down at the park here in the next couple weeks for folks to come try the game and see if they want to get interested. This individual's hope is that maybe it'll take off in the community a little bit and it'll be one more opportunity for activity down at the park, which we appreciate. In regard to a few of the council comments, the last meeting, I think that we clarified that we had more than $13,000 in the budget for the purchase of the mini excavator. It was located in 3 to 4 different places in the budget, which multiplied that funding. We've since received the excavator. The check for it was in your claims tonight, I believe. The other issue that I think was brought up was the kiosk, and Vicki helped to clarify that. I think the $5,500 that was referred to was for the market analysis. That was a Department of Commerce funding deal as well. And speaking of the market analysis, an RFP has gone out. That deadline for the RFPs has been extended to the 14th. After considering it, we felt that 7 days was a little short to bring back a proposal for a project of that caliber. So we let those who were interested know that they could submit on Friday for that proposal. So you should see proposals come to you at a future council meeting for your consideration. Otherwise, it's business as usual, as best as we can keep up. I'll note there are a number of items on tonight's agenda that fell outside of our budget. Again, we worked closely with the department heads. The administration worked closely with you to come up with a solid budget. And so it's somewhat frustrating that we aren't really staying within that budget and we're kind of going rogue. But that's the desire of you folks. Then we'll do our best to keep up with that demand. In addition, these projects are continually adding to my workload, and I'm finding that it's harder and harder to limit the number of hours that I've spent here to the 20 that's been established, given what you feel my time is worth. So keep that in mind, as projects may not move as fast as they'd like to, or you'd like them to, I'm doing the best I can with the staff I have and the morale that exists. And there's some other things, but I think tonight's purposes, we'll move on. Council comments. Ms. Barker.
I just wanted to, I know this is a question on the Dropbox. If we have any notification when that's going to be up and running again?
We do not. As Audrey relayed back to you folks on Friday, we discovered a breach, so to speak, an issue with our Dropbox account, and it sent pretty much everybody in the office into panic mode because a number of files had been deleted from our Dropbox system, which broke links on our website, broke links in emails. We couldn't find documents that had always existed. Through audit logs and that sort of thing, we were able to determine kind of what happened, and that's still under investigation by the authorities. So there is no determination yet when that will come back. To elaborate, we're putting some other things into place, as I mentioned, you know, website upgrades and that sort of thing, to hopefully get information to you outside of the Dropbox world. We've outgrown Dropbox. So we'll continue to push as much information as we can through email and the website. Mr. Michelson?
I would also like to add to that at our upcoming COW meeting, where we're going to tighten up our email system so this email debacle hopefully ends. Hopefully we can add a Dropbox issue into that and get something started on that so that we can get a more secure Dropbox so this, whatever happened, doesn't happen again.
Okay. Other council comments? Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to say thank you, Vicki, for bringing that to my attention. It was brought to my attention at the last meeting, so I had to ask. So thank you for bringing the updated stuff to me.
Mr. Smith.
I just see we're still losing 16,389,927 gallons a month. If we still equate that to the 0.03 cents kilowatt hour cost, that is a significant amount of money that is just being down the drain. So I think we still need to get back to focusing on our water leak issues and things of that nature. It looks like we, even though the pool, well, it's for this month, it says, which I would imagine would mean we put 25,000 gallons in 2 weeks into the pool already when the pool was closed.
That report is reflecting August's activity.
That's what I'm thinking, but still we were closed a couple weeks into that month also. So I just think we need to look at our infrastructure a little more. And thank you guys very much.
Any further council comment? Any board reports from council or public? Mr. Michelson.
Yes, we tried to have a planning and zoning meeting the other night, and we were unable to because of lack of a quorum. So hopefully Mayor Dewey rescheduled it as soon as he can, and hopefully we'll get a quorum to get that addressed.
Any other board reports? Park board meet, Vicki? Okay, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Ms. Holcomb?
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Both meetings adjourned. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry, you guys. Brittany was supposed to remind me earlier. She's done such a great job. There's a September 11th memorial service, as it was referenced in the police department's report. Tomorrow morning, I think a procession starts at 10:30, and the main ceremony starts at 11 and in Veterans Park. We'd invite all of you to join us. Thank you. Thank you, Brittany, for reminding me.
As part of the discussion for Wednesday, can I see this or can I write it up? They know what you mean, communication, phone to me, and back and forth.
Yes.
so that we have some direct feedback from all of you. I don't want to bother too many women, but I'd like to actually have some direct feedback from the three of you that I don't interact with on a daily basis, so that I'm speaking with the two of you. We've got a straight from horse's mouth, so to speak. Is that okay with everybody? Okay.
I'm sorry, Lenny, couldn't hear you.
Oh, no, what I was asking is if it's all right.